Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that there's nothing that can stop you, nothing that will shake you. Your love for us is just amazing. And Lord, this morning I just pray that I would not add to your word or water it down or take away, but Father, that your word would be represented, Holy Spirit, that you would speak, Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Awesome. Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be back? Woohoo! Woo! I came in, I was like, ooh, better than I expected. That was awesome. Hey, a couple of quick announcements. First of all, BCF, that is the self-confrontation. It's the Biblical Counseling Foundation. Amazing class. It starts today after second service over in the Blue Room. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you've never taken it, It'll put you through the ringer, I promise. If you want to go deep, this is the class to go deep. Also, don't forget we have a midweek Wednesday night service at 6 o'clock. And it's been awesome last Wednesday. Great turnout. Very amazed at the turnout. Also, men and women's study has begun again this Monday. However, men's study is on. But yeah, woohoo! This 6 o'clock right here in the Blue Room. But the women's study is going to be postponed. My wife's computer went bye-bye. And so we're trying to get it fixed. And all her notes, all the stuff that she had prepared, it's all there. And so we're going to see if there's some way we can extract it from the hard drive. If not, okay, well, back to the drawing board. So keep that in mind. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I've entitled our message this morning, Saints Assemble. Now, I don't know how many of you are superhero geeks like me, but I love superhero. I've always been a comic book guy. I love comic books. I love Marvel. I love all that stuff. Not so much, they're kind of going dark, but it's okay, never mind. But they had this whole series of Marvel movies, all culminating in the last one. And everyone was waiting for Captain America to say, Avengers Assemble, because that's a famous line in the comic books. So he finally said it, and it was like, woohoo, yeah, it was awesome. Well, listen, there's also a time for Christians to assemble, and that's what we're going to look at, because there is a battle. There is a spiritual war going on all around us. And so we are going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and we are going to be on the Bible bus. We're going to hit a lot of verses. I just want to make sure that we drive this concept home. Let me pray one more time before we read our verses. Father, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, teach us, Lord Jesus, that we would see you clearer and understand what we need to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, here's what we know. The day is approaching. How do we know this? Well, you look around, you see things are topsy-turvy. We see all kinds of prophecy beginning to unfold. Now, when we say the day is approaching, that could be 10 years from now. It could be next week. We don't know. But nevertheless, every day that goes by, the day is approaching. So every day that passes, we need to be that much more urgent. But let me do this. Let me read that same verse from the New Living Translation. I like the way it sounds. It says it this way. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I like that. I like that. The word for forsake or neglect forsake in the New King James, neglect in the Living Translation, is ekatlipo. Ekatlipo means this: to abandon, to desert, to leave in helpless, to totally abandon, and to utterly forsake. So here's the thing. We have to understand this. This verse has been used many times to say, hey, don't forget to go to church. That's not what it means. That doesn't mean that you can't go on for vacation and go, I'm forsaking the saints, the assembly. No, no, you're not in sin. This speaks of a total and an utter abandonment of seeking the Lord in that sense. And if you read the whole chapter in context, you'll see that's exactly what it's speaking of, those who turn away. However, we do know this, that in the Bible there is a precedence. Realize it was God's idea to create a tabernacle. It was his idea to create a temple. And why would he do that unless he had intent for his people to come together on a regular basis? So to use this in the context of, hey, we shouldn't forsake the assembling of the saints, that is true. That is so true. I see people who claim to be Christians do that all the time. A friend of mine, we were talking about a family, and we're like, well, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to any church. And that breaks my heart, because they don't have to come here, but they should go somewhere and have, and we're going to look at why here. Well, Psalm 133:1 says this: behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And that's sisters as well. It's speaking of the brotherhood, the Christendom. But it is good. It is pleasant. And this, I love seeing all y'all back this morning. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. And understand this. The purpose of the church isn't just to get sinners to heaven. It's to get saints out of bed. Of course, our ultimate goal is to see sinners get to heaven. You know, at one time, you and I were sinners. And so that is important. But understand this as well. Church is boot camp. Church is our training ground. It's where we train. It's where we prepare. Prepare for what? Prepare for the battle. Prepare for what's ahead. To fight the good fight. Listen, church shouldn't be just a religious activity, something you do to check off your list. Of course, I'd be remiss if I did not read Ephesians 4, which is our church mission verse. It is our vision verse. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. 12 is actually the singular verse, but it's that whole chapter, actually. But let's start in 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, saints assemble, y'all, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to that perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So maturing. That's the goal. The goal is for all of us to come together. God gave you a pastor who is a teacher and an evangelist. I prophesy in the sense that I tell God's word. I foretell, not foretell, although I may. I have done that before. Rare. But the thing is God has done that to bring you, us, we, to a unity of faith, so that we come to the same understanding of God's word, rightly dividing the word of God to make sure that we have the right thing in mind. Now, understand this. You cannot achieve this outside of the church. You go, oh, yes, I can, Pastor. I can study the Bible outside the church. Yes, you can. But you can't come into the same measure of stature. You can't come together in unity. You can't unify if you're all by yourself. Listen, God gave us all the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit comes what? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. You know the list from Galatians. Kindness, long-suffering. Okay, all that good stuff. Listen, if I'm sitting on my lazy boy, I can't exercise those fruit. I cannot exercise long suffering unless it's between commercials. So the fruit of the Spirit is given so that I can exercise it with you and you can exercise it with me, and together we get spiritually stronger. So important. So can you exercise the fruit of the Spirit outside of the church? In a sense, but not as you, we're going to pick it apart before you jump to conclusion. Watch. So the question is, why is it so important to be in a church setting? Listen, it's not a... If you don't go to church, that doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. I'm not saying that. Don't go off and saying, Pastor Randy said you have to go to church or you're not saved. I've not said that. The only thing you need to be saved is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. However, to mature, to grow, to exercise your spiritual gifts, you need to find a church that you get yourself plugged into. There's a cute story. There once was a mule who found himself standing between two haystacks, completely unable to decide which one to eat first. Because of his indecision, he didn't eat either. He stood there until he starved. Many people are like that mule. When deciding which church to attend, they wander back and forth, never committing themselves, meanwhile going hungry. Now, people will say, well, Pastor, I can feed myself. Then why in the world did God give pastors? And why would Ephesians say that he gave some for the equipping of the saints? I don't know. I don't like that verse. Well, that's between you and God. I like the verse. It works. I like all of the Bible. But here's what we know. We know this. The first century church met faithfully, even with the threat of persecution unto death. They were devoted in seeking God and seeking fellowship. And I've shared with you before, people go, well, they met house to house. Yeah, because there were only synagogues. The church wasn't birthed yet. Eventually it is. By the time you get to 95 A.D., when around 80 to 95 A.D., when the book of Revelation, we have the letter to the what? The churches. Even before that, when you have Galatians, and you get the idea, though. So they were establishing churches. They started in homes. They were underground. But they still met. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. Devotion. They had a devotion to meet together and study the teachings of the apostles, to have fellowship, which I saw a lot of this morning. Hugging and enjoying each other. Breaking of bread, taking communion. And of course, prayer, which is so important. We'll look at that in a moment. So, we see even from the first century church, which, by the way, as we've been going through the book of Acts, we see in the book of Acts that it is an example to us as how the church is to function. You want to know how the church is to function? Read the book of Acts. It's an outline. It's the beginning of the Acts of the Holy Spirit birthing the church. And we see a lot of things in there that are applicable to us today. But the point is this, saints, assemble. There's a battle. We're drawing near. If you believe we're in the last days, then we need to be strengthened one another. Listen, there is strength in numbers. We know that. We understand that. Now, another reason why it is good to assemble, it's for the lost, right? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Listen, the lost, they don't normally just wander into a church. When I was an atheist, I didn't just go, you know what, I'll go to church. I never did that. In fact, someone said, hey, you want to come to church? I said, whatever. I don't want that. It took someone being persistent, someone praying for me, someone who was assembling, someone who was going to church to say, hey, why don't you come? Just try it. Okay. And then God got a hold of me. The lost don't normally wander into church. Now, it does happen. Don't get me wrong. It does happen. There have been people that will wander into a church. And I had that happen once. I'm not going to tell you the story, but it happens. But for the most part, the reason why someone will come to church, that someone will have that opportunity to surrender their heart, is because someone invited them. Now, of course, you can share the gospel on your own and lead someone to the Lord. I highly recommend it. You will enjoy it. It's fantastic. But once you lead them to the Lord, you don't go, hey, you accepted the Lord, all right, hey, have a great day. The enemy's going to attack you. It's going to be horrible. No, you need to get them into the fellowship where they can be strengthened. But we need to do that. That's why the church assembles. It's boot camp. It's preparation. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? As I told you, we're going to hit a lot of verses this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, you and I are, if you're saved this morning, you're an ambassador to Jesus. You're a representative of Jesus. So the question is this, when people look at your life, how does it represent Christ? In a good way? Are you in through your life, through the way you live, are you pleading with them, be reconciled to God? Huh. In fact, I like the way Jude puts it. I love Jude, half-brother of Jesus. He gives you both barrels, both James and Jude. I love those two books because they don't play around. They're just like, here, take this, deal with it. But Jude says in his one powerful chapter, verse 20 through 23. But you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. I like that. He says, listen, some people, you know, you have compassion and you're just like, oh, you need Christ. Others, you got to go, you're a sinner. You need to get saved. And you pull them right out of the pit of hell and like their clothes are still smoking. You know, it's like they're smoldering. It's like, woo, that was close. That was me. I was smoldering. I had such heinous sin in my life. And someone pulled me out. Church is for pulling people out of the pit. It's for pulling people out of the fire of hell and putting them upon the rock and dousing them with living water. Oh, what a great thing. And listen, the church is boot camp. It's preparing us to do these things. Listen, we don't use people to build a great church. We use the church to build up God's people. That's you and me and us and we. We want to get built up to go out and make a difference for Jesus. In fact, you know what I want? I want every one of these seats to be a love seat. Not just a seat. Single seat. It should be a love seat. You should be coming here with the intent of who can I have sitting next to me in this love seat. It's about bringing others to Christ. When we leave church, as that sign says right outside the door there, you are now entering the mission field. Not when you come in, when you go out. But here is where we prepare. Here is where we equip. Here is where we rightly divide the word of truth. Remember what the word of God is. In the armor, it's what? The sword of the Spirit. I want all y'all to be ninjas with your Bible. You need to be able to wield that Bible. Hiya, yes, great. A little chop suey out there, okay. But listen, we need to be able to wield our swords. The better you wield your sword, the more victory you're going to have. And listen, I know it's hard to share your faith. People tell me all the time, Pastor Randy, it's just so hard. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm concerned about this, that, the other thing. Listen, I know it's hard. But you know what's freeing? You know what's freeing? When you realize that it's not up to you to save someone. It's only up to you to tell them about Jesus. It's up to the Holy Spirit to save them. You know what's freeing? If I go up to someone and I share the gospel with them, and they don't accept Jesus Christ, I don't beat myself up. Why? Because if I begin to beat myself up and say, oh, I didn't share right, I didn't share well, what will happen is if I do lead someone to the Lord, I'll start to take credit. Boy, wasn't I good? Didn't I share it great? It's not up to me. If you accept Christ or you don't accept Christ, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm just to be faithful to open my mouth. But it is hard because some people will not turn their lives over to Jesus. Some people refuse to come forward in church unless they are escorted by pallbearers. That's the day they'll come forward in church, and that's a sad, sad indictment. Brothers and sisters, if you're here today, don't wait for the casket to come forward in church. Give your life to Jesus. He loves you today. He's proved that on the cross. Listen, coming to church won't save you. Memorizing scripture won't save you. Praying 20 hours a day won't save you. Jesus Christ and Him alone will save you. However, when I don't pray, when I don't read, I forfeit blessings. I don't forfeit my salvation. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. And we'll look at some more of that. But brothers and sisters, my message today is saints assemble. It was so hard being away from y'all for a month. It just did not feel right. Listen, how many of you believe in the power of prayer? Okay, two of you. Great. It's awesome. Look what he says. He said, encouraging one another, especially now that the day of his return draws near. Yes, individual prayer is taught in the Bible. It is primary. You should have a personal prayer life. That should be primary. That should be first. But corporate prayer is also powerful. We see that in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. But just an example, because we were talking about Acts being the beginning of the church, the birth of the church, an example for the church. In Acts chapter 2, you know it, on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, on the 31st is Pentecost, right? It's 2 weeks. A lot of churches in California, a lot of Calvary Chapels, a lot of other Baptist churches, they're going to open up their churches even with the lockdown. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you saw Jack Hibbs. He gave a message. He says, listen, it's Pentecost. We believe in prayer. And so here's our example. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were together in prayer. And because they were doing that, look what happens. Verse 2, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were together in prayer, and God says, yeah, power. Then you go on in verse 42 of that same chapter, and they continued, and we saw this earlier, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayer. Of course they did. Listen, if you went to a prayer group and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon you and came upon everyone in that group, you'd be like wanting more of that. I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago we did some fasting and prayer. It was awesome. And so the next week I decided to do it on my own. And we felt the God Spirit. It was wonderful. It's a powerful thing just to come in and surrender and let your inhibitions go and be there before the Lord. It is a wonderful thing. Corporate prayer has its place. Yes, you can have that in a single solitary prayer life, and you should. I hear from the Lord. It's awesome. I love it. I don't like it when I just pray and it feels like I'm talking. I know He hears me, but sometimes He's like, I just want to stretch your faith. No, you're not going to hear from me today, but you know I'm here. I'm like, yes, I know, but I'd like to hear from you. How about this? Acts chapter 4, jump two chapters ahead. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with, look at this, boldness. Boldness. I love that. I love that. This is our example. Brother and sister, this is our example. This is the church that turned the world right side up. And how did they do that? Through private, personal prayer and through powerful corporate prayer. They would pray alone and then they would come together. The saints would assemble and they were mighty in power and strength. They met, they worshiped, they studied, they prayed, they assembled. That's the point this morning. And by the way, they didn't just pray. Did you hear what I said? Because you all said you believe in prayer, right? They didn't just pray. They believed in prayer. There's a story. You've probably heard it before. Many a pastor have shared this story, but it brought to mind, so I'm going to share it with you. If you haven't heard it, you'll enjoy it. It's about a Texas bar that sued a church. In a small town in Texas, a man got a permit to open his first tavern in a small town. The local Baptist church started a campaign to block the opening of this bar through petitions and mostly through prayers. The work progressed right up to the week before the opening of the bar, and lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The people of the church were surprised, but they were pleased, until the bar owner sued the church. The church contended that their prayers couldn't possibly have burned down the building. They denied it. And, of course, the bar owner said, oh, no, they did it. It was because of them. The case made its way into court. The judge looked over the papers, and hearing all the comments, here's what he said. He says, I don't know how I'm going to decide this case. It appears I have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church that doesn't. Folks, we come together and pray because we believe that God hears. We believe He's going to answer. I go and pray privately because I know God hears and I know He's going to answer and He's going to guide. We don't want to do anything here at HBC without covering it and dousing it in prayer. Sometimes it's wait, oftentimes it's go, and sometimes it's no. Yes. The Lord gave us an example of the importance of interpersonal prayer. Yes, He did. But He also instilled in us the importance of corporate prayer. That's why, by the way, that is why Paul says what? He says, pray without ceasing. That means pray privately, pray corporately, pray in a group of two, in a group of five, in a group of ten. It's important. And someone will come to me, inevitably, someone always does. But Pastor Randy?
Yes.
I can't pray out loud. Well, that's okay. Listen, you can come to a corporate prayer meeting and spiritually you can be in agreement. That's a wonderful thing. But know this. If you needed to drive and you don't know how to drive, how are you going to learn to drive? You got to get behind the wheel and do it. And the Bible is replete with prayer. Reading the Word and prayer, key elements to having victory. And also, let me just tell you this, and I say this all the time, any one of you can come up and tell me about your hunting expedition. You can tell me about the new hobby you have or the knitting that you do. You can tell me about the recipe that you have for cooking. But why is it that we have such a struggle to talk to God? All you have to do is tell Him. You don't know what to say? Tell Him your recipe. He might tell you some stuff to add to it. Listen, just talk to Him. He's not offended. He's not offended by the subject matter. He wants your heart. Listen, when a little child comes to you and they want to talk to you, you don't care what the subject matter is. You don't care if they're telling you some wild fairy tale, some imaginary friend. You just think it's cute that this adorable child wants to talk to you. That's the way God feels. Multiply that by a million, because he loves you. He doesn't care what you talk to him about. He just wants you to talk to him. Isn't that neat? Saints, assemble. We have opportunities to pray. We pray on Friday from 5:30 to 6:30. We pray on Saturday from 9 to 10. And we pray even on Sunday. Miriam said, make sure people know, because she's over there praying 8 o'clock for the service. Listen, there are opportunities to pray. We can pray during the week. Women's ministry prays. Men ministry pray. Club T2 prays. Beneficial Lifestyle prays. Axis prays. All these ministries, there's opportunities to pray. We should pray, always pray without ceasing, seek God in everything, and only do the things he wants us to do, because, hey, this is his house, and we are his children, we are his people, right? Saints, assemble. Let's get together. Let's see the power of God. And, okay, what's another purpose of the church and of us assembling? How about worship? Worship is incredibly important. I hear this, and you have too. I know you've heard this. Person will say, well, I don't need to go to church to believe. No, you don't. No, you don't. But there's a verse that I think you're going to have a real problem with. There's many of them, but here's one in particular that I like regarding worship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. When someone says to me they don't have to go to church to believe, I go, you're right. But when it comes to Ephesians 5:19, here's what it says. Speak to one another in psalms. When do you do that? When you're at home. Speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But this says to one another as well. This is speaking of corporately. This is Ephesians talking about being together. Because in 4, he said he gave some to be for the equipping of the saints, some to be apostles and prophets. And you get the idea. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to that unity, to the body. And then in here in 5, by the way, there were no separations. He says, speaking to one another in psalms. That's the psalms. Hymns, traditional worship songs. And spiritual songs, that's contemporary songs, things that are new and fresh. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Just like when I pray, when we come together in prayer and we're doing it corporately, it's still to the Lord, right? But you get to hear it. You get to be in agreement. When we come together in worship, our worship, I'm not worshiping so you can hear me. I'm worshiping and you get to hear me. I'm sorry, but you get to hear me. And I get to hear you. And we make a joyful noise. And you can't do that on your lazy boy. I mean, you can worship. I worship in the car. I worship at night sometimes when I'm studying, and I'll cry. And but there's a need for interpersonal prayer, interpersonal worship. There's a need for corporate prayer and corporate worship. They go hand in hand. How do I know this? God created the tabernacle. God created the temple. And Jesus went often to the synagogue. Very important. Brothers and sisters, we need to assemble. And that's why when we're doing this live stream, I was glad that the word was going out, but in my spirit, this was not good. We believe in prayer, right? We believe that God heals. Did you know that 70% of doctors, whether they are non-believers or believers, believe and have seen the power of prayer work? Yet, during this pandemic, and I use that word loosely, during this pandemic, I could not go to a hospital. They wouldn't let me in. No way. If doctors believe that prayer helps, I believe, if James says to take the elders if someone is sick and lay hands and anoint them with oil. Some Christians were afraid to even be touched with oil or be touched from the COVID. Now, I understand that. I'm not criticizing. I understand the fear. That's why we shut the church down. But that was really making it difficult to assemble. It was making it difficult to anoint and pray, which we said we all believe in the power of prayer. So if someone has COVID, shouldn't we be praying and laying hands and anointing according to the word? We couldn't do that. And so important to be able to assemble. God created fellowship. Koinonia. He created fellowship. And right when we were into this pandemic, there was fellowship wasn't happening. My spirit was tore up from the floor up. It was not good. So he says, let us not. Now notice it says, let us not. Going back to Hebrews, let us not. What that says is you have a choice, I have a choice. Let us not. In other words, you could, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't stop. We shouldn't neglect. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know what this is speaking of? This is speaking of accountability. Accountability. You know what you need? You know what I need? You know what we need? We need accountability. It helps. Listen, people who don't go to church, I want to, if you know, if you're, you don't go to church, you may get your regular, it's your regular MO not to go to church, to watch it online. Can I tell you this? You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. And I'm not saying that's what everyone's doing, but some people, they what do they say? Well, if I went to church, you know, the roof would cave in. I know of one church, in order to try and appease everyone that would come in, they gave some people a calculator and a tally sheet so that they could count all the hypocrites. They gave other people hard hats, just in case the roof would click, cave in. Yeah, you get the idea. So, listen, we're all sinners. We all fall short. I fall short. But the one thing I don't want to do is miss God's blessing, to be apart from God's people, to be able to lay hands on, to anoint with oil, to have that power of the first century church. Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit just moving through the body. And moving through the body. Some people just find it hard to get to church on Sunday. They stay up to watch Saturday Night Live and come in Sunday morning dead. I've had people say this, you know, oh, Pastor, I've had a long week. I'm just so tired. It's like you're going to sit. It's not like we're going to make you do jumping jacks or push-ups or change the transmission in my car. You're just going to sit and stand and love. I know there have been times in the past when I've been just dead tired. But as soon as I come into the presence of God's people, as soon as I come into corporate worship, corporate prayer, it just perks my spirit up. And I'm always glad. I was always glad when I didn't forsake the assembling of the saints together. Let me make this clear one more time. I'm not saying you can't miss church. I think, in fact, I'll just, how are we doing on time? Yeah, I'll just let you in on something. Mike, Desiree can tell you. I used to, on purpose, every now and then, we'd not go to church. And my kids would go, Dad, aren't we going to go to church? No, we're going to do church at home. Now, see, I didn't neglect. We'd read the Bible, we'd have worship. But I'd say, no. Just so that we're not legalistic and we're not doing it, that we recognize, I want to take a day that we're not going to church, but we're still going to focus on God. And so we do that. For no reason, just go, you know what, today we're not going to go. Just so it wasn't that church became an idol. It shouldn't be an idol either. That's a danger. See, both sides are dangerous. We want to be right in the middle and have balance. We want to assemble. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says this, night is nearly over. The day has drawn near. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Folks, sleep at night, but in the day we need to be walking as Christians. Now, if you work graveyard, you need to be a night in the dark, a light in the darkness. But what the point is this, we have to have that time, privately and corporately, for prayer, privately and corporately for worship, privately and corporately for, well, you can't have private fellowship. With the Lord you can, I guess, but we need to have tangible accountability with one another. We need accountability to overcome sin. Listen, when I was first saved, my life changed. But I knew this. I knew if I wasn't careful, I would fall back into Randy's old ways. Why? Because the draw for sin is strong. So if the doors of the church were open, I was there. If there was a prayer meeting, I was there. If there was a Bible study, I was there. I just knew if I wasn't there, I would drift. Because I know me. I know my proclivity for sin. And so there was this hunger in me. I wanted to know my Savior more. I've been an atheist so long that now that if I'm going to believe, I need to know all about this God. And so if the doors were open, I was there. If there was prayer, I was there. I just needed it. I couldn't get enough. I really couldn't get enough. And of course, before I started doing that, my thought was the church, just like many other people, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, right? Well, think about this. If ever someone says that to you, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Say, okay, so you don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, can I tell you that that hypocrite is closer to God than you are? If he's between you and going to church, you and surrendering to God, that hypocrite is closer than you are. We're all hypocrites. We're all sinners. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. Don't be mad at me. That's what the Bible says. But the cool part is we can be washed whiter than snow. And when you're washed whiter than snow, you want to know the one who washed you, who got that gook off of you. And the closer you get to him, the easier it is to keep that gook from getting back on you. But I want you to know this. Here's the part that I struggled with, and I know other people struggle with. Accountability in God's family should never be condemning, but understanding. Listen, we're here to stir up one another to love and good works. So when people come to me with their sins, I don't go, oh, how dare you? I pray you don't do that either. Listen, if I realize what a sinner I am, how can I be a hypocrite and look down at you? That's when we become hypocritical. Think about this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort in love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy, listen to this, being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Do nothing, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You come to me with your sin, I'm not going to look down at you. I'm not going to condemn you. In fact, I'm going to esteem you better than myself. I just need to stir you up to love and, listen to this, good works instead of the evil works that we both have the bent towards. It's important. Listen, a truly humble Christian won't look down their nose at anyone because they're too busy esteeming everyone else higher than themselves. So, brother or sister, if you're struggling with a sin, get some accountability in your life. And you can't get that sitting on your lazy boy or watching through a live stream. There's no accountability that way. That's why it's important that saints assemble. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Unity. That's what he's saying. Pray in unity. Worship in unity. Come and be built up so we can go out and get the lost and bring them in so they can become a part of our unified family. But do you know there's division? Oh, gosh. I came across this cool story. Listen to this. A visitor to the hospital for the criminally insane noticed that there were only three guards watching over hundreds of dangerous inmates. And the visitor asked, he says, "Don't you fear all these inmates will overtake you, overpower you, and escape?" And the guard says, "No," he replies, "lunatics never unite." You see, God's Spirit brings unity. Satan brings division. Listen, are there hardships in church? Sure. Who here has a family that never had an argument? Yeah. Did you disown your family? Huh? Did you change your name? Take on a different last name? Because I'm not going to. No, you work through it. That's what love does. Where there is division, there's a dude with horns, giggling, laughing, wrenching his hands, and going, "You know what? Lunatics never unite. But saints do. Saints assemble." I love this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul. Now, the Corinthian church had some problems. This is, you read through 1 Corinthians. Some new believer came to me and said, "Well, you know, Pastor, you know, I want to read the Bible. Where should I start? I was thinking about starting in 1 Corinthians or something." I was like, "Don't start there." No, don't start there. Listen, that whole chapter is to a church that's in trouble. The book is, it's just a very, very carnal church. And here's what he says. In chapter 1 of verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." Oh, what he's saying is, get the sin out of your life, work through your problems, and stay united. Wow, Paul, good idea. But it wasn't his, it's the Lord's idea. And there's another aspect, and I've got to go rather quickly. Okay, I'll do this quick. If I were to ask, and I don't want a show of hands, who here would love to be known as an awesome man or woman of God? If I were to go up individually and say, "Do you want to be known as an awesome man or woman of God?" You'd say, yes, I want to know that. I want God to say that I'm godly, that I lived a godly life. I want people to say, yeah, that, like Billy Graham, right? He passed away. There's nothing but praise for that man. I want my life to be like that. Of course, I'm sure he had enemies, but for the most part, we know him as a guy who was devoted from beginning to end, stayed faithful, didn't succumb to sin. Awesome. If I were to ask how many of you want that, every one of you would say, yeah, I want to be that. Matthew 20, verse 26, Jesus says this, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant." Great. That's a nice accent to make the point. God played music. Oh, his servant, he's right. Listen, we are to be servants. Our Savior was a servant. And guess what? I can't be a servant on a live stream. I understand some people can't make it out of their house. Therefore, the live stream is beneficial. Go God. We use technology. But listen, if you are able to be in a place where you can serve your brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus says will make us great in His eyes. And of course, we serve each other out of what?
Love.
Love. Love is a key. Love is probably the most important key to getting someone saved, to having deep, passionate prayer, to having powerful worship, to serving one another rightly. It comes down to love. There's another thing you can't get through a live stream. You can't get to love each other. Oh, you can feel the love of God, but God puts His love in you, so why? So you just soak it up? No, so you can give it out to someone else. And of course, John tells us this. Listen to this. This is so crucial to all of what I've just said. John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He says the outside world, how about New Living Translation? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So as the world looks at us, if we get unbelievers in here and they see, look at those Christians. They're just hugging on each other. They don't even know me and they're hugging on me. That pastor's like slobbering on me. I promise I won't do that if you visit. Okay, but you get the idea. There's just this love when you walk through the door. You can't get that through a live stream. You can't experience the power of God's Spirit moving through God's people. Sure, you can hear the power. God's Word never returns void. Yes. But there's so much more to it. Our love for one another will prove to the world that we are His disciples. I don't have to prove to you if you're a believer. I don't have to prove to me if I'm a believer, but the world needs to see that there's something different in the way we love and the way we forgive and the way we work through our differences. And two more verses and we'll end. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or maturity. It's the proof. It's what unites the church. It's what shows that you're mature and I'm mature, is that we put on love and it binds us together, not splits us apart. That's a proof of no love. You can talk love, you can say your love, but if there's division, there's no love. Division is from hate. And so, as saints, we must assemble, not disassemble. We must unite, not divide. We must pray, not talk. We must worship, not complain. We must serve, not be slothful. These are all things that please God. And so I want to give one more verse. I'm going to read it both in the New King James and in the Living Translation. New King James, endeavoring to keep the unity of the saints in the bond of peace. Unity, assembling. Or how about this? New Living Translation. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. That is beautiful. I love that. Don't you love that? Doesn't that feel right in your spirit? Don't you have like this thing in your spirit that's this check mark in your spirit that says, yes, that's good. That's God. That's His Word. That is replete, Old Testament, New Testament. It's over and over again. That was the purpose of Christ, was to gather. He even said that. Oh, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks. He wants us to be gathered together to Him. There's power in numbers. There's accountability in numbers. There's safety in numbers. There's salvation for the lost when they see our love for one another. So, Let me say it one more time. Saints, assemble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your love, for your promise, for your word, for your truth. We thank you for worship that we can offer up. We thank you that it is pleasing when we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, it is pleasing to you when we pray together, when we lay on hands, when we anoint with oil. It's all pleasing to you, Lord. And so, Father, I do pray and ask that you'd be here in the midst of our hearts. Speak to each one of us. Lord, there are areas in my life and areas in all our lives that we need to make adjustments. That maybe we were missing the boat. That maybe we're missing the point that we need to be united. That we need to be a family. That we need to be showing our love for one another so that the outside world would know that we are yours. And Lord, that we... Never mind. Lord, you know what I'm thinking. But Father, we just know this. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We adore you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Father God, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we cannot live without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.